The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for thee. Exercise all thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of thy church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 120. We have a diptych, a dual picture, the title page here. We have one image of the devil tempting our Lord, and the other image, we have a man and wife, it looks like, sitting down on Friday, having a fish dinner. The caption reads, "Our Lord himself often fasted. He fasted 40 days before he began his public life." In the first image, and that's where the devil was tempting him. Continues, "By church law, all baptized persons between the ages of 21 and 59 are obliged to fast. And all baptized persons 7 years and over are obliged to observe the abstinence days unless excused or dispensed." Okay, we're looking at the second commandment of the church, lesson 120, to fast and to abstain on the days appointed. First question, what is a fast day? A fast day is a day on which one full meal is allowed, but in the morning and evening some food may be taken, the quantity and quality of which are determined by approved local custom. The one full meal may be taken either at noon or in the evening. Only at this meal may meat be taken, but both fish and meat may be taken at the same meal. And of course, I had the question earlier from Sister Catherine asking me, if you work in a different shift, does it have to be at noon or evening? And I would say no. If you're working in a all-night shift and your evening meal, your main meal is in the morning, which would be your evening, then that is fine too. Okay, so it's not an exact time that you have to have your main meal, but basically one full meal is all you're allowed in the 24-hour period. Okay, fasting was a practice in the early church, and the Holy Spirit said, quote, "Set apart for me Saul and Barnabas unto the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid their hands upon them, they let them go. From Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verses 2 through 3. Eating between meals is forbidden. Drink that is not nourishing is permitted. It's kind of a shocker here. Wine, soda, tea, lemonade, beer, black coffee, and ices, flavored frozen water, are permitted because they're not nourishing. Okay. Who are obliged to observe the fast days of the church? All baptized persons between the ages of 21 and 59 years are obliged to observe the fast days of the church unless they are excused or dispensed. Okay. Pastors have the power of dispensing in particular cases from fasting or abstinence, or both, individuals as well as families. Persons excused from fasting must, however, observe abstinence unless they also have been excused from abstinence. Those of weak health, the sick, the convalescent, nursing women, the very poor, and those engaged in hard work are excused from fasting. One in doubt as to his duty should consult the pastor or confessor. Young people below 21 have not done growing and need more than one full meal daily. Those who have passed their 59th year are often weak and have need of more than one full meal. The very poor have to work hard and need more than one full meal to be able to do their duties. Among those who are dispensed on account of hard work are teachers, nurses, magistrates, etc. What is a day of abstinence? A day of abstinence is a day on which we are not allowed the use of meat. On such days, we are forbidden all flesh meat, including meat, soup, and gravy. Flesh meat is the flesh of warm-blooded land animals, including birds and fowls. Fish, snails, frogs, oysters, shrimps, and crabs may be taken on abstinence days, as well as milk, butter, cheese, eggs, and similar foods. Lard and the fat of any animals may be used in cooking and seasoning. On an abstinence day, unless it is also a day of fasting, only the quality, not the quantity of food, is regulated. Who are obliged to observe the abstinence days of the church? All baptized persons 7 years of age or over are obliged to observe the abstinence days of the church, unless they are excused or dispensed. I find it a little peculiar that we would make an exception for less than 7 years of age, but I guess today that people will make separate meals for their children than what they eat. Seems to me that the family sits down to eat, the children, even if they're less than 7 years of years old, can learn to eat fish like everybody else. That they should not need a special meal, but in case there's some reason your child is weak and needs the extra energy from meat, maybe there's that exception, but it seems to me that the family should try to eat the same things together. The adults can fast, but I think as far as the abstinence, I think the children are not really harmed if they eat fish rather than a hamburger. The sick and the convalescent, those who do extremely hard work, and those too poor to obtain other foods are excused. One who thinks he has sufficient reason to be excused should consult his pastor or confessor. When there's a great concourse of people, or if public health is concerned, the bishop can dispense a particular locality, or even his entire diocese, from the law of fasting or abstinence, or both. The bishops of the United States have faculties from the Holy See to dispense working men and their families from the law of abstinence, except on Fridays, Ash Wednesday, Holy Saturday up till noon, and the Vigil of Christmas. This is known as the working men's indult. Okay, so the the abstinence on Holy Saturday is until midnight of Easter, Easter morning, because Pius XII went back and restored the original fasting to midnight. So this was written prior to Pius XII, and prior to him, prior to the restoration of Holy Week, the fasting ended at noon on Holy Saturday. Pius XII wished to restore the Holy Week ceremonies and to reinvigorate them, I guess. And so now, currently, we observe fasting for the entire Saturday, that is, until midnight Easter Sunday morning. Okay. Why does the Church command us to fast and to abstain? The Church commands us to fast and to abstain in order that we may control the desires of the flesh, raise our minds more freely to God, and make satisfaction for sin. Quote, I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps after preaching to others, I myself should be rejected. From 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. The Church does not command abstinence and fasting because she considers meat and other foods evil in themselves. We merely deny ourselves for the glory of God and the good of our souls. A good Christian will be careful to observe the laws of fast and abstinence. One who cannot fast should do some other penance. The 40 days fast observed in Lent is in imitation of our Lord, who fasted 40 days in the desert. It is a preparation for Easter. Friday, as a day of abstinence, commemorates our Lord's Good Friday. By fasting and meditation on the sufferings of Christ, we can best induce in ourselves a proper contrition for sin. Abstinence and fasting are pleasing to God only when we also refrain from sin and engage in good works. We should honor our Lord's passion during Lent by abstaining from worldly pleasures and amusements. We should accept trials patiently uniting them to our Lord's. Even from merely natural motives, fasting and abstinence, far from ruining health as some people claim, on the contrary, are a preservation of health. Reputable physicians will bear this fact out, and it is common knowledge that those who fast and abstain live longer lives than those always eating. Fasting and abstinence should not be carried to excess, to the injury of our health. Our duty to conserve our health is a law of God and of nature, and is over and above the law of the church. To fast and abstain, when the two conflict, the first prevails. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We should always be temperate, rather than eat too much ordinarily, than to fast to excess on special occasions. Okay, so fasting before a great feast so that you can pig out and eat more is gluttonous, really, in your intention, if not in fact. So our intentions, as with everything else, the intention is really all important. That is what is imperative. Right, so if we're fasting for evil motives or sinful motives, then there is no virtue in that. And it actually becomes sinful in itself. How can we know the days appointed for fast or abstinence? We can know the days appointed for fast or abstinence from the instructions of our bishops and priests. Okay. I simply tell people, look at the calendar. If it says fast, you must fast. Now, if you see a fish, it is a time of abstinence, and you must abstain from eating flesh meat. And if you see half a fish, that means you can have meat once a day. All right. In most of the dioceses of the United States, the days for fasting are the Ember Days. These are 12 in number, being 3 per season, namely the Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays after the first Sunday in Lent, Pentecost, September 14th, and December 13th. All days of Lent except Sundays, up till noon on Holy Saturday, and again, not up till noon on Holy Saturday. So all through Lent until midnight of Christmas morning, or excuse me, Easter morning. The vigils of Pentecost, the Assumption, All Saints, and Christmas. Okay, again, Pius XII, not only did he restore the Holy Week ceremonies and change the laws of fasting for Holy Saturday, but he also suppressed many of the vigils that we formerly practiced. And so along with the suppression of the vigils was also the suppression of the fasting days. So we still have, I believe, fasting on the Vigil of Pentecost and Christmas. I don't think the Vigil of the Assumption or All Saints is our days of fasting. So it would be the Vigils of Pentecost, our Easter, Pentecost, and Christmas, I believe, are the ones that we have currently. In most dioceses, abstinence days are all Fridays except Holy Days, Wednesdays and Fridays of Lent, the Ember Days and Vigils listed above for fast days. Not familiar with Wednesdays being an abstinence day other than the Wednesdays of Ember Week. So I don't know if Pius XII must have changed that because that doesn't sound familiar to me at this time. Okay, that completes our reading. Do we have any comments or questions?
I have a question, Your Excellency. So when we're talking about abstinence and not eating flesh meat, so right now within the world, there's a big push for things that taste like meat but aren't actually meat. So say a hamburger that is made out of grain from the ground. Could you eat that on a Friday because it is actually, it's not flesh meat, even though it's a meat substitution?
Oh, yes. Yes, you can. If you want to be pharisaical and observe the letter of the law, yes, you can have meat substitutes. But again, as I said before, most of what we're looking for is in the intention. The virtue is in the will, and the intention that I want to please God or I want to make a sacrifice. I would suggest that eating a soy burger is a penance, and therefore go right ahead and enjoy your penance and mortification if that's what makes you happy. But if that's what you enjoy, then you should find some other sacrifice. The idea is a penitential offering to God, denying ourselves something that normally would give us pleasure.
So if someone wanted to have an impossible burger on a Friday, that was technically not meat, but they really want a burger and that's their solution, that would probably not be a good, that would be wrong, wouldn't it?
That would be wrong. They should probably deny themselves that.
Yeah, I mean, if all they were just trying in their mind to just, let's say, skirt the law, then...
Well, that's the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. They observe the letter of the law rather than the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law is that we deny ourselves something, that we are mortifying our senses, that we are doing penance. The letter of the law is that we're fasting and abstaining. So our motivation, I think, is what is critical throughout all of this. Why are we doing this? And if we're fasting and just because, or we abstain on Friday because that's what we always did, that's what my mom did, and I never ate meat on Friday, and it's just a habit. Where's the sacrifice? It's just a custom now. And the custom needs to, there's nothing wrong with it being a custom, and it should be a custom, but at the same time, we should be able to reflect individually that this is because Christ died on Friday, and I'm abstaining from meat on Friday because Christ has suffered and died on Friday. And I am uniting this self-denial, this penance, this sacrifice with the sufferings of Christ. And I think really the intention is what is important. Are we doing this out of love for God or for some worldly motive? And I was asked not too long ago about those who practice a carnivore diet. What are they supposed to do on Friday? And I say, well, they could fast the entire day. If they're strong enough to live on just the carnivore diet, they should be healthy enough to go 24 hours without flesh meat. And I don't think that's unreasonable, having just gone for more than 24-hour fast for my surgery. It's possible. You can still drink your fluids and abstain from meat during that time. I'm not saying it's for everyone or that everyone can do it, but I do believe that those who are healthy enough to observe a pretty rigorous or strict diet should be disciplined enough to fast for that length of time anyway. And of course, if they're of ill health or whatever, then we can make exceptions, and there's a reason to dispense, then we can dispense, because as the book has pointed out, this is the law of the church, and it does not supersede the law of God or the law of nature to conserve or preserve our health and life here on earth. So it is necessary that we eat and maintain our health and maintain our strength. And if these laws of fasting or abstinence get in the way, they can be dispensed with. It was an interesting thing. I think the Curie of Ars is the one I read it about, but his cook was preparing the dinner on a Friday, and the pot of soup, and she would stir it, and then meat would float in the pot, and she hadn't put meat in there, but now there was meat in it, and she would set that aside and start all over again. And after about the third time, she's complaining to the Curie of Ars, that this meat keeps appearing. He says, this devil is putting it in there. He said, serve it anyway. And so he ate the meat to, I guess, keep the demons from getting under his skin. It's okay. I'll eat the meat then. And so, as I mentioned before, a lot of things depend upon our intentions. Why are we doing this? What is the motivation? Okay. No other questions or comments? We'll end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et mani.